Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Hey, this is the Highlander, Calvin McCall, and you're listening to the Vegas Bad Boy Podcast, and there can only be one.
And welcome everybody again to Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. I got some of the bad boys here with us. Simon Street is out with a little cold or so, but he'll be all right. We'll see him hopefully next week. So we have our three counts, and we're going to get right to it. It's time.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents.
One, two, three.
Count talk.
Count talk, baby.
Our first article comes from 411mania.com. And this one is titled, Lance Storm Finds Grading Wrestling Like a Math Test. Odd. And Natalia agrees. So this is just a really quick kind of, it's not too much there, but it's we'll read a little bit of what some of the comments of the people saying. We're just going to kind of talk about, does he have the point or it just is what it is. But it says that Lance Storm had went to his Twitter and pretty much wrote, I find it odd that in an era where most people describe wrestling as an art form, they grade it like a math test. And back when wrestling was more focused on drawing an emotional reaction, people described it as a sport. And yes, Natty then agreed with that comment. But you know, there was a few people, and there was a lot of comments that just kind of that popped up on there. And these are just a few of them. One person had said, but there is nobody more responsible for what Lance described than Meltzer. And yet Lance is friendly with, quote, respects, end quote, and does shows with Meltzer. Another person had also said that, you know, this reads kind of defensive to me. People rate all forms of pop culture, usually the ones they like the most or follow the closely. And he goes on more to that. Another says, I always find it amusing when a match gets a 3 in a 3/4 star ratings. Outside of being the Tokyo Dome, how do you get an additional 4th star? And then one more, one person said, hey, Lance is too focused on whatever he thinks about his own experience. So, hey, there's a lot of comment on here. But, fellas, I'm just curious. His whole idea of the grading, I guess, treating like a math test, is that something you guys agree with Lance Storm about on this particular thing? Has he got a point, or you see where he's coming from? What's your take?
Personally, I don't have an issue with grading of the matches. You know, everybody has an opinion. Like, for instance, you said every art form is subjected to this, right? So you have an album, and you may have Pitchfork that rates it at such and such. But I don't have an issue with rating it. I mean, it's still drawing emotion. You still are feeling something. But I don't have an issue with rating a match because, you know, we rate pay-per-views. And based on some, you know, how you feel, some people rate them higher than others, and then it leaves a lot open for discussion. So it's not a big deal.
You don't think so?
Everybody's got an opinion, just like how everyone's got an asshole. Some just stink.
Wow, okay, all right.
No, seriously, like everybody wants to have an opinion. Everybody wants to voice their opinion. Everybody wants to think and feel like as if they have a say in, you know, their favorite fandom or art form. And, you know, I mean, for fuck's sake, we're 5 dudes that do a podcast every week, you know. There's a reason why we do this. It's because it's fun. And this is how we like to interact with the fandom and the hobby that we enjoy. So, I mean, I don't have any problem whatsoever with it. And realistically, at the end of the day, do I think that You know, do I think anybody that was on Payback really gives a shit whether or not I gave it a C or a B minus? No. They're fucking seriously. Like what Lucky said, it's just a jumping off point for discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you're missing the point of what he's saying, though. And this, ironically enough, goes into the hands of what AEW was trying to do. And that was bring in records as something that's meaningful. Try to make it more of a sport. You got to realize who this is coming from. It's Lance fucking Storm. Lance Storm, along with Bret Hart and, you know, probably a number of other people that you can point to over the years, they thought wrestling was real. Because to them, it was. It's their job. And to them, it should be looked at as athletes, as a sport, not as something that you just judge by how entertaining was this match. And I personally think that Lance misses the point as well on the factor that it doesn't matter if the match is 3 stars or 5 stars. It doesn't matter if the performers are considered an athlete or it's a sport. What professional wrestling relies on is essentially storytelling. And that's what it comes down to. It's one thing to, you know, like you said, Steve, have fun. You know, that of course you want to have fun and talk about it and that kind of stuff. It's another thing for a guy like Meltzer to then be professionally making money off of grading this shit when Dave Meltzer has never stepped in a fucking ring.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I can say that, you know, I know that Lance Storm's feeling about this is, you know, from that perspective. And that's why Natty's the one who chimed in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because look, Natty's in the ring with fucking Lana on fucking Monday night.
That's true.
Like, right. You know, I mean, you can't grade that because that's just horseshit, period. But, you know, that's what it comes down to. I think that some of these, you know, sometimes you just take it to, you know, Bret Hart was very called out a lot of times for being so, you know, obsessed with being the champion and
mm-hmm.
having this, you know, this image and whatnot. And when he was asked to, you know, play a dick going against Shawn Michaels, you know, it was, to steal your term, DJ Impact Boo Boo Face. You know?
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
Bret,
yeah.
It's like, Bret, you couldn't. But, ironically enough, Owen got it.
Right.
And Owen was probably more athletically gifted than Bret as well. So it's up, you know, I think it's up to the actual performer to decide if, you know what, if the fans think it's great or if it's crap, that really in the end doesn't affect you personally as long as you are doing your personal best and you feel you are accomplishing things.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, one thing that I'll say, Michaels, is I find it extremely funny that that Natty was, you know, the first one to chime in, or at least the first person of note to chime in with this, which, as we all know, she is tied to Bret Hart, and you even mentioned Bret in your statement just now. The thing that I find extremely ironic is Bret Hart is known for a particular quote where he dissed Triple H, saying that he never saw a Triple H match that was above a 4 out of 10. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to leave it right there. So even if Bret Hart is scoring things like a math test, leave it be.
Yeah. The other big thing too on that, which is, you know, a follow-up point, is I can guarantee that Natty probably thinks she is the best wrestler on that roster.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
She's very good.
She is.
But. She is.
But no 10.
She's not.
Okay.
I would give her 5 stars in terms of being a cat mom.
Wow.
Lord of mercy.
Shout out to T-Paws out there. Whatever the cat's doing. All right. Well, cool. That's our that'll be our first count there. Thank you, Lance, for that. We'll try our best. I don't go through grading matches like a math test, but there are some folks on our board here that I'm staring at right now that do that. Yep, I'm staring at you. All right, let's go to our second count for tonight. Comes from my favorite. Forbes.com.
Forbes.com.
Yeah. Well, we only do the 3 or 4 when it comes to Sports Gita, but I don't think we have anything from you. And it is... Stop it, Matt Michaels. This one is titled, WWE Thunderdome Won't Fix the Company's Creative Issues. Now, this article was written about 2 weeks ago, but I thought it was pretty interesting. I'm going to break down what the author, Blake, has written here. And then we could kind of, I mean, look, I'm going to say he really went hard on WWE on this. And I get what he's saying. I just don't know if you guys tell me what you think and, you know, I'll go from there. I'm just going to read just parts of it. He says, first off, the real issues that have plagued WWE over the past 6 months have nothing to do with giant video boards, fireworks, or lasers, and everything to do with the lackluster overall quality of its product. During the Performance Center era shows, WWE has had its bright spots for sure, like the advancements of Sonya Deville, the greatness of Bayley and Sasha, an impressive run for Drew McIntyre, and the resurgence of Randy Orton. But by and large, the company has had more swings and misses since March, like the Extreme Rules pay-per-view that critics labeled arguably WWE's worst pay-per-view ever.
Would that be a 1 out of 10?
That would be. Disastrous retribution angle or the trying way too hard Raw Underground, which didn't help Raw's 3rd-hour viewership in week 2. And even former WWE stars have criticized for its inauthenticity. Authentic nature. The list of failed storylines WWE has done over the past several months would read about a mile long, he says. He also mentions that Heyman was a well-known supporter of WWE's up-and-coming talents, and now that he's out of Raw's creative head, the Red brand's issues with its ups and down booking have only gotten worse, he says, with more of a focus on the stars of yesteryears, like Shawn Michaels and MVP and Orton, Ric Flair, etc., and less eyes on the stars like Ali and Black and Baszler. And despite Heyman's removal as Raw executive director and Bruce Pritchard's taking the reins of WWE's creative process alongside Vince McMahon, WWE's solution to its plummeting viewership hasn't been to put a concerted effort into taking the necessary steps to improve that process. So he said, look, here's the thing. You can give a car a shiny new coat of paint, but if the engine doesn't work, what good does that do? God dang, Blake, for real? Is it all that serious? Look, and then he ends this way. The same logic can be certainly applied here. Yes, WWE should be revamping its TV product by moving out of the Performance Center and altering the production elements of Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-view to make them more appealing. But the harsh reality is that much like Raw Underground or Retribution initially create a buzz that quickly fades away, the same will ultimately prove to be true of the new over-the-top Thunderdome concept if it doesn't come accompanied with what WWE really needs, better booking. Okay, guys, he said a lot, and I mean, he even went deeper than that. Blake is really not feeling that. You know, I'm pretty sure if I go back to some of his articles, he's probably a huge AEW fan. I'm pretty sure.
He was probably writing the article while he was watching Dynamite. He called Steve and asked him for a rating on the article.
But okay, let's just go and let's just ask the questions, though. I mean, let's go. I mean, does you guys agree with him? I mean, there are some things that we have seen since March that has been questionable. But Now that we're 2 weeks since this article has come out, and now we've seen what the Thunderdome has, you know, presented itself, you know, and again, what he titles this is that it's titled, get back to it here. I can't believe this thing went off. Hold on, I'm going to get the right title for you. Here we go. He titled this, WWE Thunderdome won't fix the company's creative issues. Okay.
So I will say this. When they first announced it, you know, I was pretty excited, and I'm still excited. I mean, you know, I'm a bells and whistles kind of person, so I like the 50-50. I like the in-ring stuff, and it's got to have a great presentation.
Mm-hmm.
AEW, I thought, through the pandemic, at least, you know, for the last couple of months, or, you know, since we've been in this, has had the better presentation being at Daly's place. So I was looking for WWE to finally figure out something like that, right?
Yeah.
The first show in the Thunderdome, I did think the creative was really bad. Like, I thought the show was just all right. But I will say now that we're 2 weeks removed from this article and from when they started doing it, things have gotten better. And I only look for it to continue to get better, you know, as they continue to kind of bring back some stars that we haven't seen and stuff like that. But you did mention a name that I got to point it out, Ali. You know, I'd probably agree with them, you know. This particular talent, dude, we wanted to see this guy come out, and maybe he's part of Retribution. Maybe that'll play into the hacker angle. You know, mm-hmm. maybe all that stuff will tie up.
Yeah.
But talent like that, yeah, you don't have anything for him. I find that hard to believe. So,
and yet you want to take the title off of Apollo Crews and put it on Bobby Lashley. Blow it out your ass, dude.
I've always thought Bobby Lashley was a good talent. He can't talk on the mic. But I don't have a problem with him getting
it. Countering the point. You're countering the point, your own fucking logic.
Did they ever give Lashley a big push?
What I'm saying is, in this article, he specifically says they focus on older talents. Now, he used the examples of Shawn Michaels, which... So they brought him out for one fucking
right. thing. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Blake.
And Ric Flair, who, you know, they just tied into the old man gimmick. I'm an old man. They strengthened the character. It's called storytelling. But the whole idea here is that he's complaining that they're using these older talents, and yet, like, Ali is this fucking godsend talent that should be featured. It's like, if you're amongst that thought pattern, then be for those guys.
Yeah.
You know, if you're cool with them using the older people, which you are with someone like Lashley and MVP and Shelton Benjamin, which I am too, I'm fine with it. I just, you know, I continuously bring up the point that everyone who likes to bitch about, you know, well, so-and-so should go to AEW because they're not being utilized right, then they turn around and they say something like, you know, wait, well, Lashley sure won this. You know, at least he's, you know, fumbling around here in that gray line, because he initially says that one of the good things they did was establish Orton, and then he says they use him too much because he's an older guy. So, what the fuck, dude?
You can't have it both ways.
Yep.
I think the thing that's really important with this article, DJ Impact, how are you doing? You seem a little bit hurt. Like as if Blake isn't your best friend anymore. I gotta know, man. What's going on?
I'm good. I just think he just sat there and just shit on everything that they have done. Here's the question I want to ask, right? So he's saying that the Thunderdome, and again, he's creating this before we now see what it looks like, but it won't fix their creative issues.
No shit.
So, which, yeah, exactly. But the reality...
No shit. I mean, it has nothing to do with creative.
It doesn't.
It's merely there to take away, you know, any thought of being in an empty arena. It's not meant to be a part of the show necessarily.
Right.
Wait,
Steve, let's do the test. Lucky, do you like Thunderdome?
Absolutely.
There you go. That's exactly the response that is they were looking for. You're right.
Yeah, Steve. Exactly. It's not to do with, you know, how the booking is whatsoever. I mean, he's drawing a false equivalency.
Right. Exactly.
So, as Lucky had mentioned, you have to have, you know, he said 50-50, but I mean, you have to have the sizzle with the steak and vice versa. Otherwise, it's not going to work for you. So,
I would assume.
I'm sorry, DJ, but the other thing that he conveniently kind of just, you know, forgets is that you're talking about a company that is currently just in this 2 weeks alone, they did two Raws, two SmackDowns, two NXTs, two pay-per-views. Is all this stuff going to be fucking, you know, hitting in, you know, on every cylinder? No.
Right.
No. That's more TV than, you know. Listen, South Park years ago decided we're not even going to split up, you know, half seasons anymore, because we're just going to keep 10 episodes straight for, you know, 12 weeks and take 2 weeks off in between, because it's a lot of fucking work.
Right.
Television, you forget. This is a lot of work.
Not to mention, again, like we were saying, they don't have an audience, a live audience. So, you know, what they're trying to put on, you know, is to keep us viewers as much entertaining as they can without the group that helps make them successful, which is the audience. You know?
Yeah. So, and now you figured a way to put the audience in, which to me is more distracting, because as the match is going on, now you've got these TV screens in front of you with, you know, people doing God knows what, you know, and
Chris Benoit and Kenny Omega.
Yeah. Klansmen. You know, Ku Klux Klan.
Public executions.
Well, let me ask you this. So, Michaels, you're distracted by it, right? What about the rest of you guys? Is it a distraction for you, Steve?
My thing is, I think that I mentioned this either last week or the week before, probably last week, but I think that it should be required for a Thunderdome audience member to have a WWE licensed background as they're doing it through Zoom. And they can even brand it to where it looks like as if they're in an arena seat, where, you know, if they want to put their branding on it, the seat has the WWE logo, or the image has the WWE logo in the corner or some shit. But
Steve, you just hit on something really good. Fuck even the drop like we have. An arena setting. Put images of fans behind them so that now you've created a depth to the damn thing, and it's not fucking TV screens. That'd be
exactly
awesome.
Yeah. Is there? There you go, man. They need to cut
You're
the
welcome.
Check. Cut
the There's check. Another one. Just cut the check. Fuck it.
Impact, do you get distracted when you're watching this?
I don't. When I first saw it, it was distracting. Probably the first couple of times that I would say it was, and then now, not really. I just pay more attention. I just pay attention to what I see in the ring. But I can see how it can be, because that's, to be honest with you, that's the purpose of an LED screen. It's supposed to be vibrant. It's supposed to grab your attention. It's supposed to keep your eyes, you know, staring at it. You know, anytime you put light in a, you know, where you're looking at, it's designed to grab that attention. And those LED, bright there, it's a lot going on behind there. But I'm to a point now where it doesn't bother me. But yeah, the first couple of shows, I was like, you know, I'm looking at everything that's happening around, like, you know, what's going on.
If Uncle Bruce, if you're listening, please, since Dexter Lumis is out for a while, please have him watching one of these Thunderdome shows with his serial killer house, you know, the walls in the background and stuff. That's brilliant shit right there. And that one's free. That one's free, Bruce.
No charge?
Charge for that one.
Yeah, now that you say it, have Brock Lesnar show up on one of those. Pissed off.
That they have to do something like that, yeah. To where, like, you know, somebody big like a Brock Lesnar or something, you know, that it pans out into storyline and becomes WWE canon.
If you really want to, and since this guy bitched about it a lot, have Retribution take over every single
right. Screen. That was actually what I was going to say. Have them to take over all of the screens.
Yeah.
You know what? I'd be in on that one.
Hell, if you really want continuity, then you have Mustafa, who this guy loves too, be the guy who's the hacker anyway.
Right. Have him be the leader of Retribution or some shit. Yeah. Just have it all work together, and, you know, just they can trip, fall, and land into a storyline that has complete continuity as long as they circle back to that.
I think they just got it from us, guys.
Yeah, check that one and checks in the mail, Bruce. Yeah.
Or at least, you know what we just want? We just want free tickets for life, baby, when they come back to the shows.
Oh, God. Jesus.
This fucking Mark.
You take free tickets for life instead of a nice big paycheck? I'll take the paycheck.
I spend a lot of money on WWE, so yes.
Yeah, I guess so. You're probably right about that.
Lucky the free tickets you'd be getting, you'd be pissed off because, oh, it's free, but I'm sitting all the way at the top of an arena.
Right. No, that's why I say I got to be sitting in the front.
They're not going to comp you that shit, dumbass.
Right.
And that's more distracting than these fucking stupid screens.
So. Yeah. All right. Well.
Hashtag not my king.
There you go.
Whatever.
Let's get over to our third topic from WrestlingWorld.com, and it's titled David Benoit on his ring name. And so I guess apparently right after the Vice TV's Dark Side of the Ring episode aired, he recently spoke about what ring name he would use if he ever stepped into a professional ring. And of course, that episode was revolved around Chris Benoit and his working with WWE and ECW superstar, and you know, eventually he took his life as well as his family that was there. But going back to David, which is his oldest son here, he mentions that. Well, first off, I would say that it says that on the it says that David stated that the episode definitely ignited the spark. It was, he says, it was actually when I saw AEW, another AEW fan there, Steve. He says, I was never interested in WWE. The quality of their product just keeps going down, 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 down. AEW just looks so much better and a lot more fun. It's just so interesting, man. It just seems like people is either going to be on one side or the other. There's no way to just saying, you know, I like both products, you know.
Hey, Street, this one's for you. Sometimes you got to call a beaver a beaver.
Yeah, you know. But he says, look, If he does enter a ring, I know he will be a third generation wrestler. He will pay a homage by using Chris Benoit, which is, I guess, Christopher is his middle name. So he would use Chris Benoit. He also mentions that he would also use his ring attire as well in there. And so, and of course, this would have to be, I guess, something that would fly with AEW or maybe one of the other companies that's out there that isn't WWE. But what do you think about this, guys, when you read this? And I guess, you know, this would all depend on how you feel about this particular story, just in general, with knowing the story with Chris Benoit. I mean, I know there's a lot of people who have different emotions about it during that particular time. But David saying, hey, I want to use his name. I want to use his ring attire. I don't want people to forget who he is. And I don't know. What do you guys think about this? Is he wrong about this? Is he right? We're not sure. It's just going to be to each one. I mean, what's your take?
How old is he?
I don't think it gave a name, age, so I'm not sure. I can look it up right quick, but I'm not sure.
Here's the thing. And I don't want to be insensitive. His father was one of my favorite wrestlers. But if he hasn't really delved into this yet, I just don't have much, I don't have much confidence in him really making a solid push.
Okay, he is 27.
27.
Yeah, he's already got training.
Yeah.
No, I know he's already had training, but I don't have much confidence in him.
You're putting a fucking title on Bobby Lashley, who's almost 50. And at 27, oh boy, he's over the hill.
I just don't see it. I mean, I don't see the passion, the hunger for it. I don't see it. I just feel like after coming off of Dark Side of the Ring and all this stuff, I don't see him being,
Do you not see it, or do you not see him have the opportunities already? Because his father killed his family.
Right. That's, yeah.
Well, here's another point then. I mean, you bring up a great point. Is he even going to get a fair shake?
In WWE, no.
In WWE, definitely not. Who's going to be willing to take that chance on him?
I could actually see him going to New Japan before I could see him going to AEW.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, realistically, if he wanted to do this, Chris Benoit competed as Wild Pegasus over in Japan underneath of a mask. I could totally see him not going by Chris Benoit Jr., but by going by Wild Pegasus Jr.
And yeah, I'm perfectly wearing, fine with that.
And wearing his dad's gear, his dad's mask. Yeah.
And in that case, you don't even have to use Junior.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Just continue, just like, they do with, like, Blue Demon and stuff like that, mm-hmm.
Like Tiger Mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be perfectly fine with that. I just don't think stateside there's, there would be a market for him at any point.
So realistically, the biggest problem is the opportunities.
Yeah.
Right? So we know WWE is not going to do it. AEW, here's the problem. The problem is that even if they want to give him a shot, you have to explain to TNT why you're allowing this.
Right.
Mm.
Now, here's the kicker on it, and that is, listen, should David Benoit not get a shot because of his father's action?
Yes. That's the question that I you just asked that I was wanted to ask as well.
Yeah, I don't think that should be held mm-hmm. against him, right?
Right.
I agree. But David Benoit wanted him to use his father's name. Not only are you bringing up the murders, but you're also now showing that by using that name, people are thinking that you want to make money off of using that name.
Yep. That you want to capitalize on it.
Yep. Yeah. And
yeah, I could see him, honestly, like if push came to shove, he wouldn't be able to use the Chris Benoit name. The article did mention that he had been speaking to the band that created Benoit's theme in WWE, which is a fucking badass song, by the way.
Oh, yeah, without
question. Our Lady Peace did a great song. They've done a lot of great music. But, the Whatever song, which unfortunately has been scrubbed from the memory of anybody. I would love to see that song, for them to sign off on being able to allow him to use that song for sure. That'd be awesome.
So definitely, I guess bottom line is that you guys would agree that he should be given an opportunity, but he should try somewhere like New Japan first, or definitely not try to go start at AEW, and he already knows that WWE is a no-go, so he should try somewhere elsewhere.
I'd be fine with the way that Steve laid it out, without question, especially if he took it serious and, you know, he could use the ring gear, he could wrestle under a mask, even if he had the theme song, you know, I'd be fine with all of those things. But I just think stateside, he will not get a shot.
Yeah.
And now we're going to get copyright claimed.
Right.
Yeah. That's what it's up.
Yeah. Well,
you can't deny the song was badass.
And it was totally bitching. Like I said, he was one of my favorite wrestlers, even in, you know, in WCW. You know, I always thought he was a badass. And then WWE gave him the proper treatment, the proper run. And he's a fucking hell of a star, man. So,
if he was willing to agree to, again, not pay that homage, not to use that name, not to use that ring attire, to just create something totally different, do you believe then that he would have a shot at AEW or even possible WWE?
WWE, yes.
Okay.
It would take a lot.
Yeah.
AEW, I think that it's just a formality thing. They would just need to, realistically, if he's being 100% serious about it,
right.
I could see Tony Khan actually going to TNT and discussing that with them. Because David Benoit has done some of the fan interaction stuff with AEW in the past, like he's been backstage several times.
Mm-hmm.
So the Khans definitely know that he's, you know, receptive to joining the organization or, you know, getting in with them. So, I mean, it's not something that is catching everybody blindsided.
Don't forget, Steve, one of the biggest factors there is that Jericho's there.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If he's serious about using that as his moniker, then make the effort to have Nancy's sister and the family sign off on their blessing.
Without a doubt.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's what it comes down to. I think, because, you know, that's a whole other can of worms that apparently the documentary kind of opened, and that was the idea that initially there was communication between David and their family, and then that kind of just disappeared. And then Nancy's sister says she has reached out to him. Apparently he didn't return. So there is layers to this that are even more than just, would he get hired on it?
Yeah.
You know, I would see that if the family didn't get approached and asked, I'd see the family suing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, guys, that right there would be our three count. But wait, hold up. What we got going on here? This is not actually a three count. This look like this is just gonna keep going here. What's going on? The 2020 PWI 500 full list is what's going on. My Lord, my God. Folks, it says that it's not a ranking for the calendar year, January through December. The evaluation period this year is from July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2020. Okay, the wrestlers must meet the following requirements for activity to be considered for a ranking: 20 matches during the evaluation period, or at least one match in 7 separate months. Exceptions were made for wrestlers who were on track to complete these requirements prior to COVID-19. Also considered on a case-by-case basis, wrestlers whose careers were impacted by hashtag speaking out allegations. Number one, guys, John Moxley. You agree with that? 500 wrestlers, John Moxley. You say what?
He's 15-0 in AEW. 15-0. No, so, okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing that we have to establish right out of the gate, okay? Pro Wrestling Illustrated is a worked magazine. Okay?
Okay.
It is not focused on backstage shit or, you know, smart mark shit. It is a fanboy magazine.
That would be King Lucky then. All right, King Lucky, fanboy.
That's not
meant as a slam on PWI by
any
means. PWI has been in business for years and years now, and it's great that in the age where so many print magazines and, you know, other print media is going out of business, that they're still doing their thing. Yeah. So big props to them for that. It's a worked magazine. It's, you know, okay, cool.
King Lucky, please.
Listen, I'm a fan of Moxley, right? But I don't honestly think he had a better year than Adam Cole. And, you know, no disrespect to him, but look at the talent that Adam Cole worked with over the last, you know, that period that they said. But, I mean, you know, chalk one up for Moxley. You know, the guy is a hard worker. Definitely got overlooked by WWE. So, I mean, well deserved. A lot of fans and a lot of wrestlers.
Did he really get overlooked by WWE?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the Shield was one of the things that got pushed down the throats of fans over.
Well, yeah, but what about when it was time for his singles run? That's what I'm saying. The Shield is one thing, but
I wouldn't say overlooked. I wouldn't say that he was overlooked. I would say that he was misused.
Okay. There you go.
Misused. Right. Well, he wasn't overlooked. He was given plenty of opportunities, but the opportunities weren't exactly the quality.
Let me ask you, when he didn't get those opportunities, who were some of the people that got those opportunities? Were they guys like, I don't know, John Cena and Daniel Bryan and some of these guys who were, I don't know, I'll say, going on 40-something?
Uh-oh, yeah. Silence there.
You see, okay. Folks, that's a little thing called continuity.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways, Lucky.
Yeah. Well, I still think they could have done right by him. That's just my thing. But, you know, I thought Cole had a better year, but, you know, let Moxley have it. Fuck it.
Okay, so let's get down to the heart of this. Steve, you said he's 15-0. So he wrestled 15 matches. You know, I mean, that's the whole thing with this worked magazine stuff.
It's made the cut.
Well, yeah, but the point is, here you have to have worked 15 matches, and a guy like AJ Styles, who should be in the top 5 every fucking year,
without question,
right? You know, it's like, oh, we're gonna put him down lower. Lucky's boy Chris Bay was 202. And I see Lucky's tears coming down off of that one.
But, you know, but that's a strong show in 202.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that, you know, is he 202? Like, what, you know, because if you're basing the full ramifications on a record,
mm-hmm.
You look on Impact, you know, when that ranking ended, Chris had just won that title. if you go back, he was losing matches as well. So, you know, the thing is that is 202 too high or is 202 too low? It's such a stupid subjective thing.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is that people will argue this shit. And the fact of the matter is that, quite honestly, well, listen, Moxley did a good job. Is he the top? You know, you have to go back and look at some of the controversies they've had. You know, I think that that's the biggest thing. Their job is to sell fucking magazines. So make it controversial and also play to what the fans who will buy these magazines like.
Exactly.
You know, the average WWE fan doesn't give a shit. So you could put John Moxley on because the smart marks are going to be like, oh shit, yeah, even though it's a work magazine. So go figure that.
Yeah.
And also, what really to me proves this point to you kind of a T is the fact that Cross is on there like 98 or 96, something like that. But if I'm correct, from most of that time period, he didn't even wrestle because he was holding out a
right
back.
So, yeah.
You know, it was just like, you know, and then you look, my favorite is when they had tag team wrestlers broken up by one person in between them. Let's put it this way. Good for you for still selling magazines, but as with printed press, it's showing its dating here.
Yeah.
And what used to be one of the things that wrestlers took the most pride in, I think now most wrestlers will take it as an honor, but really, are they giving a shit? Shout out to Jeff Cobb, number 70 on the list. Should have been probably number 20 at least. You know,
number 500 is Dan the Dad. Matt Michaels, this is your job.
Michaels, book him.
Find Dan the Dad.
Dan the Dad,
and we will have him on our show.
Dan the Dad on the show. Come and
love it.
Yes. He's number 500. He's got to make the show. The most important guy in this entire list.
We're
going to find out for you guys. We're going to make it work. You know? And that's
ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. I can't get it to.
Yeah.
Of course, it's the chroma. There we go. There's a picture of Dan the Dad.
Yeah.
Dan the Dad.
All right.
That's awesome.
That'll work. We're gonna try to make that happen. Yeah, but just looking at these names, it looked like they just decided to throw names wherever they wanted to throw it. You know,
he's got 2,200 followers on Instagram, baby.
He's had 37 matches, no pay per view.
You don't fucking say.
I gotta love the gimmick though. The gimmick. For anybody that wants to check him out, thanks Dan the Dad on Instagram. It's his gimmick looks pretty funny, so we're gonna have him on the show.
Okay,
so basically,
but maybe he's on PWI, so maybe he's just too big shot. You know,
we're looking to book the Mr. What is it, Mr.
Irrelevant? Yes,
irrelevant for. List. Okay.
Hey man, maybe we'll have to go through an HR department to get that clusterfuck.
There you go.
My question is, does he have kids? Because that is the easiest way for him to just recycle Heath's shirts. Just
buy him
the fucking discount bin and then sell him for twice the value.
Dude, I'm already loving the gimmick. I never seen him before.
Why did you even bring it up? Now, DJ, I'm going to fucking get text every fucking hour. Did you get a dad yet, man? He's fucking awesome.
He wears world's greatest dad. Dude, I love it. The gimmick is fucking dope.
Hashtag Dan.
Hey, you know who I like? I like him better than fucking Cameron Grimes.
Oh, boy.
Imagine my fucking shock.
Yeah.
Hey, Uncle Bruce, please a Maine fisherman. That's what I want to see. Dan the Dad can be 500. Maine fisherman's going to be like number 310, at least.
Easy.
Yeah. With the easy. Mermaid, dude.
With the mermaid.
Oh, fuck. And
you know what? That brings, I'm glad you said the mermaid, because that brings up my biggest gripe with this fucking list. Where are the goddamn women?
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah.
This day and age, I'm reading through this list and something's bothering me because I'm going,
oh yeah, huh?
There's people I'm reading and I'm going, yeah, okay, whatever. And then I'm going, you know what? Charlotte Flair would be number 7, let's say. You know, where Sasha and Becky, they would be fucking in the top 20.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
Know, and the way they've been going, that, you know, you have an argument for number 1.
Yeah, you're right. You're totally right on that.
Wow.
So, PWI, if you're listening, or if anyone could hashtag them, please, let's get the movement going that the PWI list should be male and female. After all, intergender wrestling is a fucking thing now. It's 2020. Yeah. Let's go there.
Yeah, maybe they're upset because, you know, at the very last part of it, it says also wrestlers whose careers were impacted by hashtag speaking out.
Mm.
So maybe that's, you know, they you know, they're like, you know what? We'll handle that. 10 women only.
So Shant in the chat says, hashtag push Cameron Grimes.
Ah.
I agree.
Listen, the bottom line is when he become a hit, and he will, we know what King Lucky's going to do. Mm-hmm. He is going...
Lucky will fanboy all over.
Yes, he will.
He'll get the fucking special edition hat.
He will.
In this fucking iteration of his character, I will never be fucking...
Oh,
I don't believe that.
Gotcha.
Stop that, this iteration shit. You either are for him or against him. You're against him. If he makes it, don't say shit that you said so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll fucking own it, man. I don't, he can't draw the curtain for me.
Get Bobby Lashley deserves a fucking title. All right, brother.
Yeah.
All right. So on the flip side, Brandy in the chat says Grimes sucks. So there you go, Lucky. You got one other person in the world that thinks the same way you do. Congratulations.
I know a lot of people that think like I do. You know what? Listen, maybe he's a nice guy, and I when he comes out, I just can't watch him. So, you know what? That's okay. Wrestling's so, like fucking ice cream. Everybody likes a different flavor.
When he's in when he's in the main event of WrestleMania and we're there,
he's wrestling Nicholas. He's now 23.
No, as he's wrestling Bobby Lashley.
let me
get this triple threat match.
Please don't let that happen. You're telling me when he's in the main event, you're gonna get up and take a bathroom break?
Oh man. Well, you know what? No. I can tell you where I feel right now. I just have no fucking like. He can't drive flies to shit.
Wow, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, guys, that is our three count. We had a run in there, and this list, I guess, will be debatable as it is every year. So. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah. Where's fucking Cameron Grimes on that list?
I'm sure he's on there.
You probably he's definitely on the list.
Yeah. Where's he at?
Well, listen. In fact, where they probably have him is in the wrong spot. You know. Oh, there he is. He's number.
He's not high enough.
He's number 134. 134. Yep.
No, like I said, not high enough. Go.
What? No, I thought you were actually going to transpose the numbers. He'd be 431.
Either way, he still made the list.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, like I said, different strokes for different folks, baby.
Oh, God. All right. Let's do our final thoughts, guys. Unless there's something else you want to bitch about. Okay, good.
It's late in the evening on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for everybody that stuck with us and listened to the show.
Absolutely.
We love you guys. Thanks for listening.
All right.
Boom. Yeah, thank you guys for listening, hanging out with us in the Facebook chat, watching the Zoom stream. Mm-hmm. You guys are the reason why we do this, so thank you so much. And thank you to all of our podcast listeners as well, and if you're listening through the app. Obviously, repsports.com is the sponsor of Vegas Bad Boys. So REPPsports.com. Go there, get all of your pre-workout, nutritional, energy drink needs. And yeah, use promo code Vegas at checkout. You'll save yourself 15%. Repsports.com, promo code Vegas.
All right, Matt Michaels.
I just remember, you can love the horse, but don't fuck it.
Even if it is legal in certain states.
Oh my lord. Oh my god. All right, guys, just remember, marketing this, you know what, the best thing to do is, if you have an iPhone, just grab your reminder app, because they automatically just put it on there, and just put after 8 p.m., just put right at 8 p.m., Vegas Bad Boys about to pop up on Zoom. Just put that on there. Make sure you put that on repeat, because we would love to have you on with us while we're doing our show, and you can also be on the Facebook chat as well. Although, if you can't do that, don't forget, if you are a subscriber, the podcasts do come out this week. As in fact, tomorrow will be Wrestling Talk. Whatever your favorite platform is, please go there and just hit the subscribe button, and we will be with you always. And lastly, don't forget to download our app to your phone. Today, we did our very first live chat on Payback, and shout out to everyone that jumped on as we got a chance to hang out with a lot of the our subscribers and all. It was a lot of fun. We're going to try to do that going forward. You can go into any of the rooms. We have a room for WWE. We even have Sin City Steve's favorite room, AEW. You know, we got King's Lucky favorite room, FSW. There you go. That's, I want to see that head shaking. All right.
Hey, man.
You know, and then we even have a room for Matt Michaels. All right, ROH, Impact Wrestling. We got, yeah, that's your room. You know, so we all got.
We should get a historical chat.
Oh, like a historical dude,
for the historian.
Something to think about, why not? You know, so the rooms are always open. Whenever you have something in your mind, just go in. Just make sure you keep it friendly and be real nice. You know what I'm saying? So with that, though, thank you for listening to.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.